Tonight, I'm going to speak out of that verse from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the last part of it, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, as I mentioned this morning, if you read that verse and then think about the verse that we read this morning from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you might say there seems to be a contradiction between those two verses. Because if Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, then what part do I have to do to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling? So let me just review for a little bit. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And this morning we started with the finish. We started with glorification. We started with that time that when we see Christ, and we've read a couple of scriptures to point this out to you, when we see Christ, we are going to be made in his likeness. We are going to be glorified. Now, we have nothing to do with that. There's nothing we can do as a human being to make ourselves perfect. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves exactly like Christ. That is a work of God that he's going to do, again, either when we die and come into his presence or when we are raptured. And so he's the finisher of our faith. He's the one that sanctifies us. He's the one that makes us exactly like Jesus. The psalmist says, I will be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Now, we also said this morning that he's the author of our faith. Salvation, justification, when we're made just as if we've never sinned in the sight of God, is also a work of God. Both of these things happen in an instant. They happen instantaneously. The moment that you admit that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to save you, you are justified in the sight of God. It's not a process you have to go through. It's not a bunch of hurdles you have to jump over. The only one thing you have to do to be justified in the sight of God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. And in an instant, you stand before God just as if you've never sinned. So he's the author of our faith. Nothing man can do to save himself. I mean, there's a lot of good things that we ought to do when we get saved, but none of those things add to salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So he's the author and finisher of our faith. If he's the author and finisher of our faith, then what's that verse in Philippians chapter 2 talking about when it says, I need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling? Okay, that's the beef tonight. That's the bologna tonight. That's the peanut butter and jelly tonight. Whatever you want to put between the author and finisher of our faith, that's what happens in the middle. That's what happens on this journey, that we take called the Christian life. And what it means when I'm to work out my own salvation is that I am to do what I can as I live my life with the power of the Holy Spirit in it to become more and more like Christ, to make my life to look more and more like his. Now, again, I mentioned this morning, this is an impossible task. This is something that we will not do on our own. We will not do even with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can only get closer and closer. And as I mentioned this morning, and I'm going to mention tonight in my fourth point, the closer we get, the further we realize we are from becoming exactly like Christ. So I have four statements that I want to make tonight that describe this journey that we're all on in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling that's talked about in this verse in Philippians. So four statements. Number one, my job in this journey is not to reach an end. My job is to journey rightly toward it. My job is not to get to the end and make myself exactly like Christ. I cannot do that. Even with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can't do it. My job is to do the things that help me make progress in that journey. My job as a Christian, my responsibility as a Christian is to live my life the way God told me to live it, to make myself more and more like Christ. And he gives us instructions in the Bible for doing that. I mean, you can go back to the greatest commandments, the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And if we're going to become more and more like Christ, we need to love God above everything else in our life. There needs to be nothing between us and the Savior. And so we need to keep that first commandment. We need to love him with everything we are. There needs to be nothing that stands in the way of our love for Christ. Jesus said one time, look, if the love that you have for your family compared to the love that you have for me doesn't look like hate, then you're not loving me enough. Now, we ought to love our family. The Bible tells us we ought to love our family. But Jesus is saying, you ought to love me so much more than anything on this earth that the feelings that you have for even your family ought to look like hate when it's compared to the love that you have for me. And so we're to love our God with everything that we are. The second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We ought to love other people. And again, love is just not a feeling. It's an action. Yes, it's the feeling's part of it, but if it's just the feeling, it's not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. Love that he's talking about leads us to do something for that person that we love. That's what working out our own salvation means. Again, my job is not to reach the end. My job is to do the things that help me get closer to that end. If our job is to reach the end, then, if that's how we think, then we will do things that will cause us to use the wrong motive. Let me give you some examples, okay? Let's just talk about politics for a minute. If a politician's goal is to get elected, you say, preacher, that's the goal of every politician. They want to get elected. I'm saying if that's their goal, they're going to do things to reach that goal that aren't good. They're going to say things that people want them to say. They're going to do things that people want them to do. They're going to take positions that don't offend anybody, and they're not going to stand for truth if it is offensive. Now, instead of having the goal of getting elected, they ought to journey toward that goal by talking about the kind of leader they're going to be, by talking about the positions they're going to take and how that lines up with right and wrong as defined by this book. I mean, they ought to journey toward the end, but if their goal is to get elected, they're going to do a lot of things that are wrong because they have the wrong goal. Their goal ought to be to present themselves in a way that people would say, that's the kind of person I want in that office. That's the kind of person I want to lead me in the political realm. Same thing. For example, when a president picks a cabinet, if their goal is to satisfy every faction that's out there and to represent every group that's out there, instead of picking the person or the persons that can do the best job in that cabinet post, they've messed up. It ought not to be to try to satisfy every faction and get a friend of every faction on the cabinet. It ought to be picking the person who could do the best job for that particular cabinet post. Same thing when it comes to building a church. If our goal is to increase our number, then we'll do a lot of stupid things. Hey, I read about a church that's worse than ours. They have dinner eating on the grounds every Sunday after church. Every Sunday. And they have a tremendous crowd on Sunday morning. They believe and practice that axiom that we do. You feed them, they will come. And we have our best crowds when we have a dinner. We have our best crowds on Singing Sandwich Fellowship because we like to eat. And if our goal was only to increase the number, we might eat every week, and then more of you would complain, this church is adding pounds to me and expanding my waistline. I know it certainly has done mine. But that's our goal is not to reach a number. Our goal is to do the things that God has told us to do to build a church, to pray, to visit, to witness, to invite people to come, to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. Look, we don't build the church by our efforts. Every church that's a New Testament scriptural church is built by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I ask people when they come to this church and say they want to join, the first question I ask them, is the Lord leading you here? If Jesus doesn't want you here, neither do we. We want you to be in the church that Jesus wants you at. It's His church. He's building it. Our job is not to worry about the goal or the end, the number. Our goal is to do those things that He's told us to do, and the number is His responsibility. He'll take care of the number. One more example. My job is not to save America. My job is to humble myself, pray, seek the face of God, and turn from my wicked ways. That's the job of every Christian, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. My job is not to save this country. My job is to be the kind of Christian that humbles himself before God, that seeks His face, that turns away from sin, and pray, and then it's God's job to hear from heaven, to heal our land, and to forgive our sin. That's how we're going to save America. It's not who we elect or don't elect. It's turning back to God and being the kind of Christian He wants us to be. And so, again, my job, my goal, is not to reach an end. My job is to journey rightly toward it. Number two, God has placed that gold outside of my reach. Again, I can never... And my goal is to be like Jesus. That's what we're on this journey for. That's what we're striving for. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect." 1 John 4:17, "As He is, so are we." We all need to make progress. We all need to travel from justification to sanctification, and it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight, but we need to still keep making progress. But I'm never going to reach that goal on my own. It's not my job to reach that goal because God has placed that goal out of my reach. We will never be like Jesus until we're glorified by God the Father and we are made by God in His likeness. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." What Paul says, hey, I'm on the same journey you are. But I haven't arrived yet. I haven't got there yet. Not as though, in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul says, and again, if anybody could claim to be like Jesus, it would certainly be the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's one of my heroes in the Bible. But he says, hey, I'm on the same journey you are, and I'm not there yet. I haven't attained. I haven't reached the goal. Neither have I. Neither have you. We cannot become what He wants us to become. He is going to make us what He wants us to become the day we leave this earth, either again by death or the rapture, and we are made by God in the likeness of Christ. That's when we'll reach the goal. But until then, our goal is to strive for that goal. And so I can't become what He wants me to become, but I can be becoming what He wants me to be. And if you're not more like Jesus today than you were last week, you're not making progress. If you're not more like Jesus today than you were a year ago, you're not making progress. I was talking to somebody this week, and they made the statement, said, "Pastor, I don't feel as I'm as close to God as when I was younger." And I asked the question, well, what did you do then that you're not doing now? What marked your life when you felt closer to God than that's different in your life now? And they said, well, I spent more time in the Bible. I spent more time in prayer. I went to church every time the door was open. I said, well, why are you asking me what the problem is? You know what the problem is. You want to feel as close to God as you did when you were younger? Do the same things you did. I told him the story about that man and woman that was driving in the front seat of a car. He was behind the wheel, and she was over here by the passenger seat. The wife looks over to the husband, says, honey, you remember when we first got married, we used to sit real close together in the front seat? And he looked over at her and said, I haven't moved. Jesus hasn't moved. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He hasn't moved. He's in the same place he's always been. Where are we? If we're not more like him today than we were last week or last year, then we need to figure out what we're doing wrong. I mean, the first thing to look at is just like that young man needed to look at. How much time am I spending in his word? How much time am I spending in prayer? How much time am I spending with his people? I mean, start there. And again, I can't reach that goal. And my job is not to reach the goal. My job is to strive toward it because that goal is outside of my reach. Number three, so our job is not to arrive, but to journey. To journey. Christian life is a journey. The goal of that journey, the destination of that journey, is to be like Jesus. But I will not reach that goal until I see him. And so my job is to keep journeying and to keep growing until I do see him. We read this verse this morning, Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy faith in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The psalmist says, hey, I'm not satisfied where I am now. Same thing that the apostle Paul said. Hey, I've not attained yet. I haven't reached the goal yet. And I'm not going to be satisfied until I'm made in thy likeness. And we're not going to be made in his likeness until we see him. Again, by way of death or by way of the rapture. Here's the problem. Too many Christians on this journey get satisfied where they are. Let's say I'm here in my journey. If I'm satisfied with where I am, I'm not going to make any more progress. If I get this far and I'm satisfied here, I'm going to say, well, I'm here. Look at how far I've come since I've been justified. Look at how far I've come since I've been saved. And we say, differently than the Apostle Paul, I've arrived. I've arrived. We're not going to grow anymore. If we make more progress and we get close to the goal, and we say, well, and we say, I've made it. I can't get any further. Hey, there's a little bit more room. Again, you're never going to achieve it, but the fact that we're never going to achieve it doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive for it. And if we get satisfied along the way, we're never going to strive for it. And so we need to say like the psalmist, we need to say like the apostle Paul, I am not satisfied. I'm still pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. That's what the psalmist said. Number four, and this goes back to the point I tried to make this morning and the point I made in my introduction. The closer we get to the goal, the farther away it seems. The closer we get to the goal, the farther away it seems. You see, as I make this journey, the closer I get to Christ, and you're only going to get closer to him as you learn more about him, as you get to know him better. You say, preacher, I've been a Christian 50 years. I know everything there is to know about Jesus. No, you don't. That's why that book is a living book. You can read something about Jesus in that book and say, oh, I know everything about him. There's nothing else I can learn. And then you can turn the page and read a scripture that you've read before, and God will reveal something to you about his son that you never thought about before. Amen. Brother Leo challenged us yesterday in breakfast about just getting in the Word. Getting in the Word. Staying in the Word. That's what we need to do. we get closer and closer to being like Christ, and we realize how far away we are. We realize what a sinner we are. A saved sinner, a sinner that's on their way to heaven, but still a sinner. Paul said, I know what's right to do, but I don't do it. And I know what's wrong to do, and that's the thing I do. We're still a sinner. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize how far we have to go. Now, again, shouldn't stop us from striving to do that. I have let me use the paint upstairs. I was going to use a couple of shirts I have, but this will make a better illustration. So George and Jack were here Monday, and they painted the hallway upstairs in the stairwell. And Jack said, before we started, he said, "Preacher, I don't think the paint that's on that hallway now is white." I said, "What do you mean, Jack? Look at it. It's white. Sure, it's white. Look at it." He said, "No, I don't think it's white." I said, "Jack, it's white. Look at it. It's white." He said, "I don't think it's white." And then we started painting, and Jack was right. It wasn't white. If you haven't noticed the hallway upstairs, just come up here and look toward it. It's a lot whiter than it used to be because we painted it white. I thought it was white before, but it wasn't white. It was some kind of off-white. But now it's white. I can compare myself to others. The Bible says we shouldn't do this, but I can compare myself to others, and I can say, boy, I'm a lot more like Jesus than they are. I'm a lot closer to his likeness than what they are. But the Bible says don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to the one you're trying to be like. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that starts it, and he's the one that's going to finish it. But in between, we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So let me ask you as I close tonight, where are you in this journey? Have you stopped somewhere because you're satisfied? Get unsatisfied. Get unsatisfied. Again, my job is not to make myself like Jesus because I cannot do that. My job is to strive to be more like him. And one day, when I see him, I will awake in his likeness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge that you've laid before us to keep striving to be more like Jesus. Even though we can never get there, we can still strive to reach that goal. And I pray you'd help us tonight. I pray you'd help us to examine our lives, see where we are in that journey. And Father, if we've stopped for some reason, to get started again toward that goal of becoming more and more like our Savior. I pray for somebody here tonight that has never met the author of salvation. They would come to Jesus tonight. They would see their sin. They would see that there's a penalty for that sin, that Jesus paid for it on Calvary's cross. The blood that he shed there, without the shedding of blood, is no remission of sins. I pray tonight they would come to the author of salvation and receive the gift of eternal life that he purchased for them on Calvary. So speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in our lives tonight what needs to be done. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.